faithful time of praise and worship. We thank praise team. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to the Lord. A couple of announcements before the word this morning. Each one of you should have received, if you came in and received your bulletin, you should have received a sheet of paper with important dates, upcoming dates and announcements. It's a very important sheet because we're in a time of transition, as you all know, and so there are things that are not going to be as usual. So keep that sheet of paper so that you can refer to it, or else you'll be here for a service and no one will be here, or you won't be here when we are here. So, and likewise after the first of the year. So keep that sheet of paper because there's some very important things in it. There will be Tuesday night prayer meeting here this week. There will be no Wednesday night service. Thursday night we'll have our annual 30-minute candlelight communion service welcoming Christmas Day from 11:30 until midnight. Christmas Eve, bring the kids in PJs and it'll be fine. So we want to invite you to come out and enjoy that. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 18. We have three scriptures this morning. I want to just begin with this. John chapter 18. The title of the message today is The Intensity and Urgency of Truth. John chapter 18. Now I can either preach you a Christmas message. I can preach you a Christmas message that might be light and make you feel good and think about Christmas today, or I can preach to you what God has put on my heart all week long. So what would you rather hear, God's Word or just something for Christmas? So I was hoping you'd get it right. I thought, you know, you don't ask questions from the pulpit. Sometimes it backfires on you. I've had that happen before. But John chapter 18. You know, I'm going to take you down and I'm going to bring you up. So be forewarned. Amen. John chapter 18. I want to talk about something very serious and very intense this morning. And you know, God has His perfect timing. I believe that Amy's Sunday school class this morning, just there were things all the way through it that I was saying, yes, Lord. It's just laying a foundation for the message today and things that God began to speak to my heart the first of the week that I've just been mulling over all week, and He's been developing and adding to it even through last night and this morning. So God knows what He wants to do, and His strange ways, you know, His ways are higher than our ways. And so He wants to prepare us not only for Christmas, but for the beginning of the new year. And the gospel is no better preparation. I mean, is what can be a better preparation than the pure gospel, the pure word of God? Amen. John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to him, "I find no fault in him at all." Let's pray. Father, I bow my heart before You this morning, asking, God, that You would bear Your Word straight in like arrows into the hearts of Your people today. Lord God, whatever the need is today, take the manna from heaven, Lord, and divide it according to each person's need. Speak to each one where they are. God, that we would be equipped to serve You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I know the Word that You have laid upon my heart, but this Word will avail nothing without the power of Your Holy Spirit making it real, living to the hearts of those who are gathered here, whether it's an unbeliever, a person who is searching and seeking and does not truly know You, or whether it's one who has walked with You for years but needs to understand the truth of this message. I pray that You would let it be like a flashing neon sign lighting up the darkness that's in our heart sometimes when we walk away from You. So God, I pray that You would light this truth up by Your Spirit and plant it within our hearts, Lord. Lord Jesus, that You would be glorified and lifted up in this place today. We don't come here to follow after church fads. We don't come here to mark off time. We come here to bow our hearts before You and to glorify You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So may you receive all the honor that is due your name, even in the preaching of this word. Let it be worship before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. This message, as I said, began earlier in the week as God was just stirring something in me about truth and about some things that I think we ignore as Christians. And I'll just jump right in by saying that the very nature of truth is that it is intense and it is urgent. Of course, some truths are more intense and more urgent than others. I mean, the truth that you're sitting in a chair this morning doesn't demand a whole lot of urgency and is not a very intense truth. But if you were standing on the sidewalk and the trucks are passing by, well, the truth that the trucks are passing by is not such an intense thing either. But if you find yourself suddenly having been sleepwalking and you awaken and you're standing in the middle of the street and the truth is that a truck is heading your way, suddenly there's an intensity to that truth. Amen? And there is a required urgency. There is a response that goes along with the understanding of that truth. And I would say to you this morning that everything in God's Word is intense. We don't read it that way and we don't often live it that way. But everything in God's Word, every truth that comes to us in God's Word is intense by its very nature. It is radical, it is intense, and therefore it carries with it a response, a weighty urgency that comes with the Word of God. And not everyone responds to truth with urgency. Because there are times, the Bible calls them generations. There are generations of people in various places in the world at various times. God describes them as generations that are blind, generations that are dull of hearing. Jesus, as we read, stood before Pilate. Pilate could not bring himself to deal honestly with the truth that was standing before him. I say that Jesus was standing before Pilate, but in reality, Pilate was standing before Jesus because the greater king was standing in front of the lesser king, the lesser king being the earthly king. And so Pilate, whether he was seated or standing, he was before the king of the universe, but he could not bring himself to deal honestly with the truth that was staring him in the face. At one point in Matthew's version, it says that he washed his hands of the matter. He said, I wash my hands of this matter. I find no fault in this man. I don't want to carry the guilt of this, but neither would he deal with the truth that Jesus said that he was a king. And so he